What's going on, y'all?
Hey, good afternoon. This is Jay Ross at Soul Crapers Radio. I'm excited to have this guest here, the incomparable Miss Jackie McGee. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, guys.
How are you, by the way?
I am good. I am good. I am truly, truly staying prayed up, armored up, fasting, doing whatever we need to do right now on this lockdown.
Amen, because this academic right now was going on, and you know that, you know, what's the key right now is social media that's playing in the platform where everybody's giving, like, the life of music right now with everything that's going on. And, you know,
and that plays
a part of that.
What I was going to say is you're right. Right now, social media is what everybody's using. And it's actually a great tool right now for, you know, people to use for entertainment or whatever. Because at the end of the day, when you think about it, you can have all the money in the world. You can have, you know, you could be the biggest artist in the world or whatever. But right now, with that whole COVID-19 popping off, nobody's nobody right now. Because at the end of the day, everybody's trying to save their lives. You know? And you right now, you can't go outside with no Gucci bag, no Louis Vuitton. You go to the store and get your groceries and bring your behind back home.
Right, exactly.
You know, it makes you rethink your whole entire life. It makes you, you know, rethink everything that you've been through in your life up until now and say, you know, was I walking right? Was I doing right? And it makes you even think about who did you do wrong? You know, let me get my life together, whatever. That's what I see. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily for me, because I've been on my journey for 14 years of, you know, I turned my life over to walking with the Most High. And that's, you know, that's my journey now. That's not, you know, I was a mess back in the day. That's all I can say.
And, you know, you starting out, you know, everybody knows you from, you know, back in the day, back in, starting from 1989, I believe. Was it 89?
Yeah, well, 80, Make It Last Forever album dropped in 88. Everything started to hit in 88, 89. That's when everything started to hit. So from there, everything started going, you know, uphill. I didn't come out until the 90s. Like, my album didn't drop until 92. But I had a hit record with Salt and Pepper, Expressions. We did Expressions in 90, you know, in 1990. And that was another, you know, big record following Make It Last Forever, but people didn't even know that. They didn't put the two and two together that it was me.
Right. I knew.
You knew?
I knew. Because, like, in the video expression, when I saw it, I said, I know that. I know who that is. And on that video, they had you sing live on that part. Expression.
With Expressions, what we did was I ended up doing it for Herbie, as Herbie Lovebug. I did it as a favor to him because he, his sister is one of my best friends. And then on top of it, we all became really close when we were out on the road, and we did some shows with Salt and Pepper. So how it ended up happening that we did it, MCA, my album was done. The beginning of January 90, my album was done, but MCA Universal put me on hold. So I was, you know, sitting back. I was bored for a minute, and I was like, I need to do something. I need another record out. So Herbie called me, and he was like, I want to put you on the Salt and Pepper track. You know, you down to do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. Mm. But, you know, when it came to all the paperwork and you know, and the money and the points and this and that, that part wasn't on point. But I took a risk and I said, you know what, I don't care if I get a point on the record or not. Just pay me through, you know, after and say, pay me triple scale, and I'm gonna do the song anyway. Regular was mad at me. My manager, Hiram Hicks, he was so mad at me he couldn't even see. And I'm saying Hiram Hicks, and I know a lot of people know Hiram now because he's on Love and Hip Hop, and I wanted to fight him. he's on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
And he was on currently on the Drew Hill Unsung episode, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, well, Hiram was so mad at me for doing it because I wasn't getting a point on the record. And, you know, I just went in. I said, let me do it because I wanted to do something different, to do it
right.
With, you know, do a hip-hop record. And it ended up being Salt and Pepper's first number one record out of any of the records that they had. That was the first time they charted on the Billboard charts, number one. And it was with Expression. And they stayed number one for a lot of weeks. So, I mean, for me, you know, nothing is more like death. It was a gift. It was a blessing. It was a gift that, you know, it was a hit record. It sold 2 million singles, you know, it went double platinum. And it was beautiful. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I took that hit, and then now, you know, I was kind of fighting back and forth with them for my performance royalties, and they don't want to give it. So I was kind of in that same position that Spin was with them. But, you know, Most High put it on my spirit to let it go. He told me to let it go. I've been fighting with them for 5 years. They've been holding my money for 5 years, a company called Sound Exchange, because they stopped it because they knew that I was entitled to the money because I'm featured. But Salt and Pepper would not come to an agreement that we split it three ways. Even if we split it four ways, Spin wasn't on it, but, you know, they still didn't. I was still down to give Spin a percentage. I didn't care. You know, I was like, well, we could split it four ways. I'm fine with that. But we never, you know, came to an agreement, and I just let it go. The most I put it on my spirit, he said, let it go. And I let it go.
Yeah. And I think
I let
that,
it go. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, I'm like, my money is not millions like theirs is. So you're taking something away from me and my family, you know, when it comes to whatever. And that's where greed steps, you know, steps in. It's like, y'all going to be that greedy, knowing that I'm the featured artist on it, knowing that we had a number one and a double platinum record, and I also wrote my part, and then I sung and didn't even get a point. So that right there should have been like, oh, okay, you know what? Jackie did do all of that, and she didn't take no money. And I could have came after the record label. You know, I could have went after them and said, really? You know, and went in. But by the time you pay an attorney to do all of that and you going through all the shenanigans, you end up with $2, and it doesn't make sense. So, you know, the most I put it on my spirit, and this was just a couple of weeks, like a month ago. I sent them an email. I called their manager and sent him a text because he's one of my old friends. And then I sent an email to the people at Sound Exchange, and I just told them I'm backing out of it and let them do what they want. I'm finished with it. I'm tired of fighting it, and I let it go.
That's a lot of stress, too.
And it is, but you know what? I wasn't stressing about it because I gave it to the Most High. But then, at the same time, I was once I let it go, all of this broke out. This whole coronavirus thing broke out, and the Most High was just showing me that stuff doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. None of this stuff matters because I'm in control of everything. And I can shut everybody down, and nobody will go be able to go to work. Now look what's happening. You know, y'all shut down. You can't even perform right now. You don't even know if you're going to get your checks in the mail. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even know if you're going to get your direct deposit. So it's like he's always in control. And that was my lesson from the Most High. When he tells me to do something, I follow him. You know, when he says shut it down, when he said let it go, I was like, okay.
Because sometimes you got to have that, right, and sometimes you got to have that inner voice. And when you have that inner voice, you have to follow with it, especially when it's something that is eating in your spirit consistently and that you can't control it, especially when you know what's right for you.
That's right.
And so always, and I tell people this, always come with a plan B with your setup, because your setup could always fall out. And like right now, what's going on? It's like everybody's not looking into the plan B of everything to get their perspective of how they going to maintain and manage their careers.
Right. And if you look at life right now, nothing is going to go back to normal. So the normalcy that they knew before, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's over. So your life is going to be so adjusted because now it's not even, you know, we can't go out and do what we used to do. That's over. All those crazy dreams that y'all were chasing, it's like the little dreams are gone. Figure out the next thing. You got to always be able to figure out and go inside of yourself and know what the Most High gave you, what he blessed you with. Use what he blessed you with. You know, and you doing what you're doing is building up your platform right now, because there's not a lot of people. There's online, you know, radio stations or whatever, but it's going to get crazy now because of the fact that everybody's in the house and life is not going to be like it was before. So this is your chance for your, you know, platform to build.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep doing, you know, what you're doing. Keep doing everything that you're doing. And I don't know, did you talk to Tuatha already? Did you interview Tuatha?
Oh, yeah, I interviewed her already, yeah.
I didn't even, because I know T, and I actually started, I learned from Tuatha and M2Me. I learned from them.
Mm-hmm. And she actually said hi too when I contacted her. Yeah, she said hello.
I learned from Tuatha and M2Me because I was young and my brother-in-law was playing. He was one of M2Me's musicians, so he used to bring me out on the road. He would take me to shows, and I learned from them. That's how I learned. And then, you know, I call M2Me Uncle M2Me. He ended up doing producing The Closer I Get to You over again on my album, on my Jackie McGee album. So,
and
you know,
I love that album, by the way.
Thank you.
That I tell everybody that album is like one of my best underrated 90s albums of all time, because I still listen to it to this day. Because,
well, you know, I got caught up in, it was so many, and I know that it was a really good album, but what happened was I got caught up in the politics at MCA, and MCA Universal has so many black artists, you know, so it was like, they had everybody. It was Bobby, New Edition, I'm trying to think. Was Stephanie with us?
Stephanie.
I'm trying to think. Stephanie.
New Edition. New Edition.
And I know it was New Edition because we were all of us were with Hiram. So that's how I met Hiram Hicks, from him managing New Edition. But Bobby, New Edition.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You had Jody Watley, you had Eric B, They had Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, they had so many artists, black artists. And then had Uptown Records. So Andre had, you know, Jodeci. He had Mary came in after me and my friend Jeff Red. He's the one that actually brought Mary in. And was supposed to be this is so crazy, and I can tell you this now. Andre Harrell was managing me first. And he was managing me. We didn't have a contract. He was trying to work with me. And he came to me with this whole idea of being the queen of the ghetto. He came to me with this. Everybody in Uptown knows this. And I was like, I don't know, bro. So, you know, at the time, Megan Lassiter was already big. And then I had already started singing with Toto, with the rock group Toto, that did Africa, Hold the Line,
Georgie Porgy,
Rosanna, Georgie Porgy, all that. I was out on the road with them while my album was on hold with MCA. And then I was getting, you know, doing Keith's tour in between. Mm-hmm. I was like doing all this stuff in between and doing Salt and Pepper record and whatever. So Dre comes to me with this idea of he wanted me to be the queen of the ghetto. And he's like, Jack, come on, you know, you got this. You already got a big record. You know, this would be perfect for you or whatever. But I did not see myself as being ghetto.
No.
And I was like, no, we're not doing that. And he was like, no, I'm telling you this is perfect for you and blase, blase. And I was like, no. And I turned it down. I did not want to be no queen of the ghetto. I did not want to be, you know, I think if he would have said the queen of hip-hop soul then, it probably would have registered to me better. But at the time, it was the queen of the ghetto. No, we wasn't doing that. Because, you know, I had already been out, and I was already, you know, in Europe a lot and whatever, and I was already funky with my clothes and crazy, and my hair was crazy. And whatever, so I already had my hair shaved off on the sides and my ponytail, just like Corey Glover from In Living Color, because that was my boy. You know, we rock and roll. You know, we all rocked out. We R&B, but we still rocked out, you know. So when he came to me with that idea, I was not with it. Then they took the idea, and they had this new girl that they had, this cassette tape, and they loved her voice. She wasn't, you know, the best. But she had swag, and they signed Mary, and they made Mary the queen of hip hop soul and the queen of the ghetto. And it was for Mary; it wasn't for me. I was like, that wasn't for me. And it, now, you know, with me looking back, I always, you know, I have to thank the Most High, because I'm like, you know what, Father, you didn't allow me to be into all of that because you needed me to be what you needed me to be and to do what you needed me to do at this time. And for, you know, because I used to cry when I was at the record label, because I was on the label for 8 years. And I did the second album that never came out. And dropping me. And it was crazy. I mean, even to my video Skeeza, when they put my first single out with Skeeza, it was number one on the box back then.
Mid-hipping, y'all, was hot.
It was, but I did not want to do the song. I did not want to do it.
Why?
Because it was not me. But it wasn't me. You know what I mean?
Gotcha,
it wasn't
me.
I was never the wild. I mean, I was wild in my life, but I'm just saying I wasn't, like, you know, wild, dressed in half-naked. And you know, that wasn't me. So I didn't want to do it because I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Because I was a singer. Like, I'm like, I like ballads. I like to do you know, stuff like that. So me doing that, I was like, I don't want to do skis. That don't even match, you know.
Yeah, because on the album, I was listening to the album, the whole album is pretty much bass ballads, where you can hear your voice. And, like, one of my favorite songs off that album is Denied. I mean,
you know, I knew you was gonna say that. I knew you was gonna say that when I tell you, my girlfriend, one of my crazy girlfriends, that's her favorite song on the planet. Can I tell you? And that's, to me, that's who I was.
Right.
That's who I was as a singer. And I thought that, you know, they were trying to take me a little too left. But even on my second album that we went in to record, the second album was hot too, because I ended up, you know, working with, I worked with Mark Gordon from LaVert, the only one that's left alive right now from LaVert. And he's a good friend of mine. Love him dearly. Dope producer. And we still keep in touch. That's my boy. I was working with Jermaine Dupri. Did I work with Keith again? I'm trying to remember. Did me and Keith do some stuff in the second album? I think we did. And I worked with, I'm trying to think who else I worked with on that project. But it was a good album. And
I never knew that.
It was ready to come out, ready to drop and everything, and then they dropped me off the record label. So, and I mean, you know what? I wasn't mad because I was $1.1 million in the hole, something stupid, in the hole, in the red. And I'm like, they know they ain't getting none of this money back. Where they get that from? So, I'm like, okay. But my attorney went in and turned it out, and they were like, they wiped my whole slate clean with them. I didn't owe them no money, and they actually gave me $20,000 and was like, you know, go on about your business, girl. Goodbye. We, you know, nice to have you on our label. Good. See you. And that was it. And then I ended up doing, going with the Family Stand.
Oh, my God. That album. Oh, my God.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is, I love the project that I did with the Family Stand. I felt that my vocals were crazy on that album. I really felt that that was a good record for me.
My goodness.
I loved working with the guys. They really talented guys, really talented.
But when I first heard your voice, I said to myself, you are a rock funk blend because you belt out. Like, you fell out. And I felt that with that chemistry, with that album, I'm serious. When I bought that album and I looked at the cover, I said, I know that is not Jackie McHugh.
I'm not talking about Nasty Ball with blonde hair.
Oh, my God. It looks so good. And I love you because you're so edgy. And
I've always been, thank you. I've been crazy forever.
And I know that you do a lot of your concepting, you know, of your imaging and everything with you. And so if people be with you, they got to work with you because this is who you are. Because you were not trying to be like everybody else back then. And like with the solo album, I was like, I love this girl. She shaved her head to the side, had the braids right there. And then you came out again. You had the short cut blonde hair. And I was just like, captivated by it. It made me love you more. I already loved you already, but when you joined the Family Stand with that project and your voice stood out every song on it, when Heaven Calls, oh my God.
Thank you. I love when Heaven Calls. I love that song.
You guys do a video too, right?
Yeah, we did a video for now I got to think about it. Which one we do the video for?
You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's what we did the video for. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a fun project. I don't really talk to the guys much anymore.
Yeah, because they actually did a reunion together back with Sandra. In New York, they actually were working on it, but due to the COVID-19, it kind of got held back. And, you know, that was a looking for a project with it, but the thing about the two guys, they always mentioned you. They never let you out involved of the projects they did. You know?
Yeah, we did the project, and I loved working on the project with them. I knew Sandra before them. You know, I knew Sandra for years. And I always loved Sandra. I was always a big, huge fan of hers. You know, I love Sandra's voice.
Oh, man.
You know, she was always dope to me. When I did the project, you know, my girlfriend called me. She was working with MCA Universal Publishing. And her name is Kim Jackson. She called me and she was like, you know what? I got two things that just came across my desk, basically, well, across her ears. And she was like, I got a phone call wanting to know if you would be interested in doing the Family Stand. And then I got another phone call asking if you would be interested in doing the Brand New Heavies. So, me.
Wow.
I thought about it. And I was like, oh, gosh, I like both of them, you know. And that was my thing. I loved both of them. I loved the Brand New Heavies and I loved the Family Stand.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I always loved what Sandra St. Victor was able to do with the Family Stand and her being free to be able to do the Black Rock stuff and do the stuff that she wanted to do. I felt that that was part of me, too, you know, that I would have more freedom, you know, doing the Family Stand than trying to do the Brand New Heavies. So I chose the Family Stand. And then when we all, you know, got together and Peter Lloyd, we went over to his house and he just went through the songs with me and whatever. And he was just like, yo, you gotta, because most of the songs were already written. And he just had me, you know, sing him. He wanted to hear how I sound, you know, singing and stuff with him. And we went through, you know, a couple of songs, and he was like, phew, girl. he was like, your name is all over these joints. I'm sorry. You know, he was like, I love you for your swag and everything. So, you know, we ended up doing it. And that was such a dope album, and,
yes,
you know, because of politics again, it got pulled, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I just thank the Most High that I was able to do the projects that I've done, and then I put away, I pretty much put away my music shoes. I was like, okay, I had enough, because now I'm wore out. No record can come out and really get pushed like it's supposed to, you know, and I just felt, you know, I got discouraged. I really did get discouraged. So I was sitting in the house doing nothing, driving myself cuckoo, and I said, you know, let me start making some stuff. So I started designing stuff by hand. And I met a guy that sold. And he ended up working with me. So I started my little company called Mag's Rags. And I did some skirts and stuff. It was a lot of denim and leather that I worked with. Denim, leather, and shearling and stuff. And I was making all these funky, crazy skirts and jackets. But I ended up doing one for Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City. And, because Patricia Fields, who was their fashion coordinator for Sex and the City, she had stores in New York downtown. If anybody live in New York and they funky, they knew about Patricia Fields stores. And she saw my skirt because my girlfriend had one of my skirts on that I made for her. And Patricia Fields saw one of my skirts and she was like, I want that in my store. So I started making some and I put some in her store. And we did okay. I was doing okay because I was starting, and I did a skirt for what's her name? She lost a lot of weight. Oh gosh, did this song with I see her face, pretty eyed, beautiful eyes. Oh my goodness, what is her name? Duet with the night can become chills. I'm sorry, because you know I don't know the words, nothing.
Oh, I forgot.
Baby, come to me. Who's that? That's
Patty Austin.
Patty, thank you. Yeah. I did a skirt for Patty. I made Patty Austin a skirt and a jacket. One for Jasmine Guy and her daughter and Jasmine, you know, Jasmine's family. And I did some for Janet Jackson's dancers. You know, like I was doing, I did one for Free when Free was doing 106 in Park. I did a jacket.
Oh, you talking about the French
kind of
French pants she had on? They were like kind of fringe.
No. I did a skirt. My skirts were done with they were done out of denim, like out of your jeans. I would take your jeans and make like something funky with your jeans with leather. And I did it for, I'm trying to think who else I did one for. I did it for a few people, but then, you know, I stuck to that for a minute and then my music passion was still busting me in the head, and I'm like, okay, I gotta sing. But you know, I had my children, my boys, and mommy. You know, mommy stuff come first over all of that. You know,
right.
Singing the everything. Mommy stuff come first. So,
right.
You know, and then life started getting in the way, and I just put it away, and I just didn't sing, and I started singing again in I would say 2000, maybe. I started singing again. 2005, 2006, I started singing with Bobby. I was singing with Bobby Brown.
Okay.
I did, that's when he and Whitney started going through their little thing and they weren't together. But me and Bobby, we've been family for years because, you know, we knew each other from MCA, Universal.
Right.
And then us with Hiram. So, you know, I went out with Bobby for a couple of dates, did some stuff with singing with him for a minute, and then I stopped it again, you know. And then I decided, like, 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago now, let me start my journey again. Let me try. Start my journey again, get back in. I started acting. I was doing, you know, I did a short film with, what's his first name? Mark John Jeffries, the kid that played Little C's in the Biggie movie.
And okay.
He played
Losing Isaiah, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good actor. He played in a lot of stuff, and he's a really good actor. We did a short film together, and you know, I started doing a little bit of modeling, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff started coming together, and then smack again. My daughter gets diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I'm like, oh, Father, here we go. And, you know, it was like once that happened, you know, that's hands-on. She gets insulin 7 times a day, and that's all hands-on. You know, you can't.
Right.
You can't go do no singing. You can't do nothing because you can't just leave your children with anybody. And she needs insulin. She got to have insulin to eat. She got to have insulin, you know, just, you know, her insulin that she needs for the day and on top of every 3 hours when she eats. She got to have insulin. So, and it's a roller coaster. It's not easy because their hormones are all over the place, and once their hormones start changing, because she was 7 when she got diagnosed, now she's 10, and it's still a lot of work. It's a lot. But now she gives herself shots, so it's, you know, it's easy for me with that. But I wasn't sleeping, no nothing. So it was like it was one thing after another, and then I put out the record. I put out the single. What, a year? It hasn't even been a year and a half yet when I put out If This World Were Mine. And people thought I was putting out a remake. No, it's not a remake.
No.
Different
title.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of, you know, the thing with that song, we needed that 90s feel, period. Because there's no, and not to say we can't go new school, because I love my new school. I do, you know, I'm down with hip-hop. I'm down with all that. But at the same time, we still needed just one of them heartfelt little love songs, you know, to feel like, and we needed a back-in-the-day video. And it's crazy because the last video that I did was with the family stand, and I was pregnant with my second son. my youngest son. He is in college right now. He was he's in his third year. You know, they send everybody home for the virus. He's in his third year, so in August he'll be a senior. He's a film major, so he shot.
Because I love the video. It was very detailed. The song, because actually we're about to play it. In a few minutes, yes, because I love the song. Yeah, because I was like, oh my God, my girl. And you know, and I tell people this, Jackie is still here, but she took it. You know, everybody kept asking questions, why is she not doing no music no more? Why is she not doing this? Why is she not doing that? And I said, well, listen to the radio interview, and then she tells you everything.
Right. So why I can't really sing? Right. Because, you know, right. That's why I said you'll find out why I'm not singing like I was. But even when I tried to do that and put the video out, after I put the video, when I tell you the Most High will shut you down, if it's something he's not allowing at that time, he shut me down. I had started having problems with my esophagus, and it was messing my voice up. So
my voice wasn't
even. I was like, wait, what's going on? I was like, Father, please, what's going on? But see, you know what? When he is using you to do his will, not yours, his will,
right?
He's going to prepare you for what he needs you to do, not for what you think you're supposed to be doing. You know, he don't care about none of this worldly stuff we're doing. All he cares about is what he put us here to do. And I know he's like, yeah, okay, I'll let you, allow you to get a couple of little hits, one or two, and, you know, you got your little name. People know you. They might not know your face, but they know your name. They know your voice. That was good enough. You get it checked. So at the same time, you know, as much as I do still want to sing and do whatever, I got to do his will first. Whatever it is that he has me to do. So, you know, I'm sitting in the house trying to figure out, okay, Father, what am I going to do next? I know I need to, because I was doing this thing. I was going live from the bench on in the summer. I was doing this whole live thing from the bench outside, and, you know, coming in talking, you know, about generational curses and, you know, just things, reaching out to our people on how we need to start changing our thoughts and our ways. And we don't have to be stuck in that whole, you know, thing of my mother was an alcoholic, or my father was an alcoholic, or they were a drug dealer, or, you know, XYZ. The sins of a man, they do fall on their son, his sons and his son's sons. And when the Bible says that, it means the women and the guys. And them sins fall down. Yes, they do. And the reason why they do fall down is because we repeat the things that our parents have done. The repeating, you know, we got to stop the repeating. Like, my father was a child molester. Now, this was my dad. My father's dead now. My father was a child molester, and on top of it, he was a heroin addict. He used to make me tie the rubber thing around his arm while he shot up. Now, did I want to do that when I got older? Absolutely not. I didn't even want to give my daughter shots when we were at the hospital when she got diagnosed with diabetes. I told the doctor, I can't give her no shots. I was like, I can't do it. I at that point, I told my husband, I looked at my husband, and I said, I can't give her a shot. You know what I went through as a kid. I can't give her a shot. And he was like, come on, Jack, you're going to have to. And I had to, because I had to erase all of that. And the Most High was like, this is your baby. You got to give her a shot. So come on now. If I'm with you, I'm with you all the way. You know, I'm not going to leave you nor forsaking you. So I'm with you all the way. And I had to learn to give her the shots, and I started giving her the shots. But we don't have to be, I was saying all that to say, we don't have to be what our parents were, or our grandparents, or anybody else. We have a choice to say, do I want to be that? And you have a choice to look at your life. I had to look at my life. You know, my mother been married like 5 times, and I had to look at my life like, shoot, am I going in the direction of, you know, no, we can't, And my grandmother, too. My grandmother was married 6 times.
Right.
And it was like, no, we can't do that. No, that cycle has to be broken. And, you know, it was time to break the generational curses. I mean, I love my mother. My mother was and still is a great mom. She taught us well. You know, she taught us about the word. She taught us. She made us go to church when she wasn't going. And she did. You know, we had to go to Sunday school and everything. And then you know, my grandparents, I lived with my grandparents too, and I had to be on everybody's choir. I had to be on the old people's choir, you know, the young adult and the kids, mm-hmm. everybody. I was on everybody's choir. And I would stay going to church all the time and all of that. But I'm saying that all to say, too, and this is what I have to be truthful about because this is part of my journey. Mm-hmm. I know who we are as a people, and I know a lot of because I grew up with a Pentecostal minister grandmother. My mother's mother was a Pentecostal minister, the one that was married 6 times. She was a Pentecostal mm-hmm. minister. And, you know, they don't believe in not being married. So they believe in if you got a divorce, you can't be fornicating. You got to get married. So my grandmother just kept getting married. And my mother right. did the same thing. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, I'm alienated now away from, you know, certain things with my family because I stepped away. I know what I grew up with, and I know what the Bible says because I studied the Word. And every time I studied the Word, something kept coming up in my spirit. And I'm like, Father, there's a lot of stuff missing, you know. And I always questioned, but I always said, we're not African. So we're not African.
Oh,
you know
wow.
who we are? We are mm-hmm. the true children of Israel. And people are like, Israel, that's the Jews. No, it's not. It's us.
No, it's not.
And this is why we are hated everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody hate us for no reason. This is
right.
why we are the ones that are the inventors of everything, down to music, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
We are anointed people. And
the
we
underdogs.
Are, yes, but we're not the underdog because we are the Most High's chosen people. And my mother, she was like, who are you saying that one? Because I had to go to the whole thing of us being, you know, we spoke Hebrew in Hebrew and, you know, that Jesus name. There was no J's in alphabet 300 years ago. There was no J's nowhere. They took Jesus name and changed it from Yahshua to Jesus in the Bible. And then, of course, you know, they turned them white because they wanted to turn them white. But we are the indigenous people. We are the true Israelites. And yes, it's a whole bunch of true Israelites in Africa. We came through Africa. The Most High said he would scatter us amongst the earth and we wouldn't know who we were. And we were running from whoever we were running from, then the Romans and everybody else. We ran to the north of the mountains of Africa. And then we went south. When we got traded, when our ancestors got traded, we were traded through Benin, Africa. We were traded mm-hmm. over to the Europeans to become slaves. The Africans pointed to us, and I had an African man tell me, like, Most High has revealed these things to me. And an African man even told me, he was like, you're right, Jack. I have my master's in history from Africa. And he was like, you're right. Y'all were a different, your ancestors were a different people, and they had one guy. They had doctors, lawyers, everything. And what it was, they were jealous of who we were. And when the Europeans came over to get slaves, they mm-hmm. they turned us over and was like, take them black people over there. I know they look like us, but they're not us too. So take them. So this is who we are in America and scattered amongst the earth. This is who we are in America. We are the true
right.
Israelites. And people mm-hmm. are like, oh, Israel is a place. No, it's not. Israel is a people. I'm like, if y'all read, and that's what kills me about Christian people in church. How you gonna sit up in church and you don't even read the Bible? You sitting up there, you just going along with what the preacher's saying. If you read the Bible and you read the story of Jacob, even if you just go from Abraham, had Isaac and Ishmael. And then Isaac's kids was, Isaac had the twins, Jacob, Esau, and Jacob. Jacob's
mm-hmm.
name was changed to Israel, and the Most High told him, The Most High changed his name to Israel and told him, your 12 sons will be the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. That is a people. It is not a place. And this is why I'm like, okay, come on, people, my people. Y'all can't stay blind and dumb and not listening to Most High forever. We got to wake up. We got to wake up and know who we are. You know,
amen.
And I mean, and I'm not taking it away from anybody because I believe in Yahshua just like they call him Jesus. I call him by his real name now, Yahshua. I believe he walked this earth and he did everything. Yes, he did, because the Most High sent him his son as an atonement for us. And that's why I'm like, wake up and take your part in your place, knowing who we are. Know who you are. Then you will understand what's going on right now. Because if you don't know who you are, you won't even know what's going on right now. You won't know.
Right.
So it's like, okay. Because this ain't going to be easy. We're not going back to normal.
Right. It's a process. And that's why I tell people that when you get something, it's a process. It's timely. It's very timely. So it's not going to just be grown.
Let me tell you something. And I'll say this. And I mean, you can ask me anything else after this because I had to get all of that in. But
I love
whatever
it.
Y'all do, and I'm saying this, and I'm being serious, and y'all can say it came from Jackie McGee Peoples. That's my married last name. Whatever you do, don't take that vaccine that's going to come out. Y'all have to fight, and everybody ain't ready to hear this. But we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to walk in faith, knowing that the Most High covers us and guides us.
Amen.
Don't take that daggone vaccine, because they, you know, they're trying to make that a mandatory thing. And remember, in Revelation, this is end times, because they want to go to one world order. And this is what's breaking down the economies. This is the whole thing that's setting up one world order. Don't take the shot. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all heard it from me. Don't take the shot.
Y'all heard it. She said, don't take that shot.
Don't take that shot. They're going to have people trying to come after me, but you know what? I'm covered by the Most High, so whatever. I ain't no punk. I'm like, that's all I'm going to say. I ain't no punk. I'm like,
The thing about it, the thing I love about you, you're very resourceful, and your research is facts. So, you know, what you tell and what you say, because I always followed you on social media, and I said, I love this woman because she told the truth. And we start getting more closer and closer to each other, you know, not just on the music side, just the mentality of the real world.
Right.
You know, so what you're saying is facts, because we have to look at faith with all this and keep our walk in it.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot with what you're telling me and outside of what we talk about, you know, because you're a real one. And, you know, and every time a real one talks, they back them off, because it's people like you that need to get the faith into people to let them know this is what we need in our time. Faith. Stop looking at what you think is negative in your being and your soul.
Right.
And get into faith in the word.
But you know, I said, if only one or two people get it, even when I post stuff, I can tell how many likes something get and how many likes it don't. And I can see how our people shy away from, they'll be like, I don't know if that's true or not. And I don't know if I'm going to be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit if I say that, that his name is Yahshua and we calling him Jesus. I might be wrong if I go against it. Like, I can see our people shy away from. And I'm like, we are so programmed to believing that Jesus was white. That's number one. And then his name being Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not white. He wasn't white. Everything that came out of that side of the daggone globe, brown. There's no way. And then when they describe Yahshua in the Bible, how does it describe him? It doesn't describe him with no white skin. It describes him with woolly hair, locks, wool, like wool. What's that out here? Skin is bronze. What is, I'm like, come on. I'm like, y'all don't see this? We need a magnifying glass to make. Y'all need my reading glasses to see it bigger. Because I'm like, it says clearly what he looks like. And we finna gonna roll with little white Jesus on the cross, and then putting him on the cross and wearing around your neck. That's not better than you, because you got a white Jesus you hanging around your neck on a cross, and he didn't even die on a cross. He died on a tree. They hung him on a tree. That is in the Word. Look it up, people. Go Google it. Google it. I'll tell everybody. Go to Google. Speak it into Google and say, how did put it in how they got it in the Bible, because it'll say Jesus. Put in how did Jesus die in the Bible, or was Jesus hung on a tree, and watch it comes up. It's going to give you exactly in the Bible where it says it. And he was hung on a tree. He was not hung on no cross. It was just the way they had his arms out. But he was not hung on a cross. It was not. And now, you know, people are wearing all these crosses and stuff. We shouldn't even be doing that.
Right.
Wearing no crosses and carrying on. No, because that's not it. But remember, people don't get that the enemy is the prince of this world. I'm like, do y'all not read Revelations? The Most High, when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. Like, y'all missing the whole thing. This is his domain. The Most High gave him this world as his domain, and he has appointed time. So,
right.
Y'all think, you know, the same way y'all said that, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. What? This whole thing is run by evil. Everything. Satan and the workers of iniquity are no joke. They are going in right now because they need to snatch every soul that they can snatch. And don't get me wrong, I'm not coming off, I'm not just saying worldly, you know, everybody being worldly or whatever. I mean, I put on my little Lee personal nails, I sure do, and my wigs in a minute. But at the same time, you know, I'm like, I'm still going to cover myself, you know. And I'm
right,
like,
right.
Crazy. I put you up one time because I was feeling myself, you know, saying just how you're supposed to look when you're 51 or 52 or something. I put with my bathing suit on. I snatched that joint off of there so fast. And I was like, Father, I'm sorry. I felt so convicted when I did it, because I was getting so many likes. And I was like, oh, let me take this off. Because
everybody was saying,
I was supposed to be doing it.
And I know people was probably saying, this is the new Jackie McGee.
I was like, let me take a. I'm sitting up there with two piece. And the crazy part is, when I took the picture, the girl that took the picture for me worked at the resort that I was at. And because I took my daughter to Disney. And thanks to my friend Michael, my best friend Michael, to pay for it. We stayed at a resort, and my sister, she got the resort for us because she has timeshare. So I'm being cute at the pool, you know, but I'm not trying to show my body. So I got my little sarong, you know, thing on, whatever. So I tell the girl that worked at the pool, she won a little lifeguard. I said, take a picture for me, you know, make sure ain't nobody looking. I ain't care if, you know, the little corny white boys was looking, because they don't look at us. So we was good. So
right,
I let her
right.
take it real quick. I was like, go ahead and take it. She took it for me. That was the only reason why I had to put that. I put my sarong thing right back on and was like, because I know that all of this booty do not need to be out like that. So, and I do, you know, I don't know. I'm serious. I try to be mindful, you know, of other people being married,
exactly.
You know, married people, you know, and, you know, it's one thing. We're not supposed to be showing our bodies to, with turning on, you know, other women's men, you know. So, it's like, no, I can't do that, you know. So I put it up. I told you I was feeling myself, and I put it up, and I was like, oh, let me see. I started getting all the likes and carrying on, and I was like, and I felt convicted in my spirit. When I tell you the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh came down on me like, you better take that picture down. I took the picture down. Sometimes I was like, Father, forgive me. I repent. Forgive me.
Right.
Because I know that, you know, I know better. You know what I'm saying? And when you know better, you do better. And, and I'm trying to, I'm still, you know, on my path. I still make mistakes. I'm still a sinner every day.
Yeah,
you know,
every day.
I say it to the Most High. I say it every day to the Most High. I'm a sinner every day, Father. But I do repent every day because I know that I've thought something in my mind. I want to bust my throat and do something or, you know, do something crazy that I'm not supposed to be doing. But I don't live like that. Like, I don't, you know, I don't live crazy anymore. I did. You know, 14 years ago, I changed my life over. I was a mess before I changed to who I am now.
Right.
So,
and on that note, thank you. We ran out of time.
Did we? Oh my God, yes. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. No, I appreciate you so much, Jackie. And we're going to talk more definitely. And, you know, if you guys want to hear the single, If This World Were Mine, it's on all digital platforms. And I'm telling you guys, it's a good song. And Jackie, where can people hear you on social media?
Well, I just do. I'm an IG girl all day. It's at Jackie McGee. I'm an IG girl, and it's just at Jackie McGee. McGee, JACCIMCGHEE. That's it. I mean, I do Facebook, but I really don't do Facebook. I'm on there, but I'm not crazy. So I just send my stuff from Instagram to Facebook because I'm not.
Right.
I don't even know how to do Facebook, so.
Well, I'll show you how to do all that.
Okay. Thank you. And you know, you got me anytime if you want to do part two, you know.
I'm
whatever.
Getting for part two for the second season because we're going to have, I'm going to have like two other people. It's going to be a group discussion thing. I'm telling you, second season is about to be off the hook. I'm going to have two guests on here.
About.
Yeah, we're going to have two guests on here. Yes, we're going to talk. I got a whole bunch of things set up for that, and I'm going to call you definitely, so get ready, mama.
I will.
I got you. But thank you
everybody
again, Jackie, for this.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jackie, again, for this intriguing, wonderful interview. I'm serious. I couldn't even say anything because I was just very intrigued because we need the truth. And you are the truth.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you so much again. Seriously.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk. Y'all stay prayed up. Yeah. And thank
stay
you guys
up.
For listening to Soul Cravers Radio. I'm your host, Jay Ross. See you again. Same place, same time. Peace. Stay safe out there, y'all.
Aww.